The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a good Monday. Thanks for being with us. What a weekend. Brad Sesmatt, sports360az.com, Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric on White Mountain Radio. Great to be on White Mountain Radio. The good people, White Mountain Radio. Snow had been falling through the weekend. Sunrise rolling. It's great. Off and running on to another week. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Dr. Robert Shelton, Tostitos Fiesta Bowl Executive Director. Why this bowl game? Why these two bowl games? I think they're actually pretty good in some different sorts of ways. I'll explain why later. Paula Bovinazzi, Central columnist, will be with us as she is every Monday. News and notes. Paula Bovin, esteemed columnist, AZ Central Sports, my friend. It was a good weekend, unless you're an Arizona State Sun Devil fan and you decided to go sit out there and watch your team get run over. It's a good football weekend if you're an Arizona Cardinal fan, except you lost Tyrann Mathieu, and that injury is worse than first thought. I'll explain that in a couple of moments. I think it's even a good weekend for the University of Arizona because you have the number one basketball team in the nation. That poll will be released later today. There's plenty going on. Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, Eric Sorensen, jumps on in with his Facebook question of the day to get us started.
Well, you touched on it, Brad. Two of the things that are going to be addressed in today's Facebook question. I think it was somewhat of a disheartening weekend for Arizona sports fans, and that's kind of what we're surrounding ourselves with today's Facebook question. Stanford crushing ASU's Rose Bowl dreams Saturday night in Tempe, or the Cardinals reportedly losing Tyrann Mathieu for the remainder of the season with a torn ACL. Which incident is more disheartening to you, Arizona sports fans?
Well, I think the Mathieu injury is actually worse than what is first feared from what the reports are now as the day is progressing. I think what happened to ASU, you could see on one hand Stanford coming in here and pushing them around. I just didn't like how the same mistakes we saw up at Stanford happened again. The same script that we saw. Look, I was wrong. I picked ASU to win. I was a fool. I was stupid. I was that guy that you beat up on Twitter. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about because you picked ASU. Or, hey, you jinxed us, you fool. You shouldn't be picking ASU. Oh, come on. Head over to facebook.com/sports360az. Like our page. Share your input. That is sports360az. Like our page. Share your input. Facebook.com/sports360az. Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind now in the world of sports after a busy weekend, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino, they have been a part of Sports360AZ since day number one because you pull down the slots, you eat some great food, you have some fun. New Year's Eve, less than 3 weeks away now, I do believe, or right at 3 weeks away. Tomorrow's New Year's, so 3 weeks away. I'll get my days right. And that's the place to be for New Year's Eve. The Honda Resort and Casino. There's plenty of snow at the Sunrise Ski Resort. What a great way to celebrate the New Year's. Party your tails off at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. Pull down the slot. Eat some great food. Have a lot of fun. And then go ski at the Sunrise Ski Resort. That is a winning combination. The Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. I do want to start with the Cardinals today because I think that's where the story is here in the Valley. The Tyrann Mathieu story, a free kick. Man, when you think of the Tyrann Mathieu story, didn't play last year. Cardinals roll the dice on him, goes through rehab, leaves rehab before the Cardinals go that direction and draft him in the third round. He gets drafted. It's a story of redemption. He comes out. In my opinion, I said this at the start of the season, I picked him as my defensive rookie of the year all the way back in September. And it comes down to this yesterday where Tyrann Mathieu's season tragically comes to an end.
Tyrann Mathieu, still looking for some room, had to back up a bit, and winds up being tackled on the 21. And this Cardinal defense, as we said, dominating. Meanwhile, Tyrann Mathieu is the injured Cardinal.
Yeah, and it was a gruesome injury. If you saw the two injuries side by side yesterday, Eric, did you see the Gronkowski hit an injury that left him out?
Yeah, I saw them both. Pretty ugly. You could tell right when they both happened that they're both going to be really serious.
I think Tyrann Mathieu's was worse just to look at in real time, and maybe it's because I'm too close to the situation here where I have been rooting for him. The report today from Ian Rappaport, the NFL Network, is that Tyrann Mathieu has torn his ACL, anterior cruciate ligament, and his LCL, lateral collateral ligament. I've had five knee surgeries. My wife's had 20, and I'm not exaggerating. So knees through the ears with doctors explaining rehab and all that stuff. You don't have to be a former NFL player. I hear this, well, you never played the game. Doesn't matter. It's a knee injury. Could be Lindsey Vonn blowing her knee out. When you have a knee that's torn in two separate areas, that's a worse injury than initially thought. And when that happens, it's when it's just the ACL or if it's a meniscus. If it's a meniscus, it could be 4 to 6 weeks. It could be 2 months. It just depends. It's an ACL, could be 4 to 6 months. When it was an ACL initially, it was you're gone for a year or two, and we'll never know if it's the same. Technology has been a wonderful thing. I don't believe that having your LCL and your ACL torn can be put away as it's just a minor deal. And yeah, I'm going to be that guy that takes it from this angle. For everything that Tyrann Mathieu had to go through just to get back on the football field and all the demons that he battled, now he's got a battle sitting on the edge of a table and having his leg feel like it's on fire with a hot poker every day. Now he has to deal with a guy that had some issues with substance. He's going to have to deal with that because people are going to say, just take painkillers. There's a lot to this story. I'm rooting for him like I've not rooted for somebody here in the Valley in a long time. I don't root much. I don't. You know, if the Cardinals win yesterday, fine. If they lose yesterday, it's fine. If ASU wins, fine. If U of A wins, it's all good. Just give me a good story, right? I want a happy ending to this because I believe this kid has gone through hell and back already.
And you, Brad, said even a month ago, one of his biggest challenges is free time. The more that he is occupied with football-related things, the better. And now he is going to have a lot of free time on his hands when he is not rehabbing because he's not playing. So
the rehab will be – I think he'll be one of those guys that does 8 hours a day of free
– Probably.
Or, 8 hours in the room. John Lott, you have not heard John Lott's name mentioned much since Ken Wisenhunt left. I think that's by design. I think Bruce Arians just likes to have control over his guys, and that's fine. Every coach is different. John Lott will kick Tyrann Mathieu's tail in a good way. Now, and so it's a huge loss to the Cardinals' defense. The Cardinals, to say that they have improved under Bruce Arians would not be truthful. They have improved under Steve Keim and Bruce Arians. John Abraham yesterday made an enormous play, and that just continues to show his season.
Third down and six from the end zone. Clemens is going to go down for the safety, and it's John Abraham, the veteran who came over from the Atlanta Falcons, leading the team with 8 sacks. Now give him another one.
Abraham now has 11 sacks. He finished with 3 sacks yesterday. Eric, if I would have told you at the start of the year when Steve Keim signed John Abraham that he would be second in the entire National Football League, only behind Robert Mathis of the Colts in sacks, John Abraham, number two in the entire NFL with the Cardinals in sacks.
Yeah, fascinating. They signed a couple guys this offseason that have been pretty good defensively.
Yeah, Carlos Dansby yesterday coming up big again for the Cardinals defense.
Clemens going to the air again, off balance, and it's intercepted, and it's Carlos Dansby who dances in for the touchdown.
Carlos Dansby, his second touchdown of the season. So I look at Steve Keim, and I look at Tyrann Mathieu being drafted. I look at John Abraham and the season he has, second now in the NFL in sacks. I look at Carlos Dansby playing at a Pro Bowl level. And I have to tell you, I feel pretty darn good about what they're doing from a player personnel standpoint, just on the defensive side of the football. Offensively yesterday, Carson Palmer didn't throw a pass all week. He didn't need to throw a pass all week. He needed to be rested up for yesterday.
First and goal at the 7. That's Andre Ellington to the top of your picture. One timeout left for the Cardinals. And the quick throw to Fitzgerald. Touchdown!
Larry Fitzgerald after the game on the run game. Rashard Mendenhall has made a huge difference for them. Andre Ellington continues to impress. Here is Larry Fitzgerald after yesterday's Cardinals 30-10 win.
You know, having the running game, you know, hitting like it's been hitting. I don't know what we ran for today, but, you know, we had nice gashes all day long. And, you know, whenever you're going to get that, you know, a lot of teams are going to have to bring that strong safety in the box, and you're going to get some single high looks.
And for Fitz, he's had himself a terrific season. Carson Palmer only missed on 5 throws yesterday. Yeah, it hurts that they're a game back of the playoffs. Because I have to tell you, watching the Cardinals play, they're a pretty darn good, they're a pretty complete team. That's what I'm seeing out of them. There's some things I don't like. There's some things that still aren't working quite right offensively. And the injury to Tyrann Mathieu hurts. But the Cardinals win yesterday. They go to Tennessee next week. You just have to keep winning. And you hope that the 49ers game at the end of the year means something. On the other side, a lot of college football to get to. Not just ASU going to the Holiday Bowl. Plenty of time for that. But also the two huge bowl games here. Dr. Robert Shelton, Tostitos Fiesta Bowl president, will be with me next. I'm Brad Sussmat. A segment of the show brought to you by Simply Sell It Now. Simply Sell It Now sells people's cars, trucks, motorcycles, RVs, and boats. Let them sell your vehicle. No upfront costs, no hassle. Simply Sell It Now handles all the details. They advertise, they show your vehicle, they negotiate the price, they close the deal, handle all the paperwork. Very simple. Your wife's giving you the hard time about that. Why is that boat out front still? Get rid of that thing. Well, simplysellitnow.com. You don't want to lose her. Lose the boat, guys. Simplysellitnow.com. That's simplysellitnow.com. Dr. Robert Shelton joins us here in a second. I do want to mention before I bring Dr. Shelton on board, just one college football note, a couple actually. Dirk Cutter interviewing today at Boise State. Former Arizona State Sun Devil head football coach interviewing at Boise State. And why is it that people cannot figure out the U of A and ASU logos and what sets them apart? The Houston Chronicle today in their newspaper shows all the bowl games and they put the U of A logo rather than the Arizona State logo for the Holiday Bowl. I don't understand. Is it really that difficult? I'm going to ask Dr. Robert Shelton that first and foremost. Tostitos Fiesta Bowl Executive Director, because, look, he ran the U of A. Is it really that hard, before I get into your two games, is it really that hard, Dr. Shelton, to figure out between U of A and ASU?
Well, boy, Brad, I would say the schools, each of them in a very positive way, would tell you it's simple to keep those two separate.
I would think so. I would think so. I just want to slap some people around across the country, but that's my own little rant for the day. And a serious
note. Well, you know, we're a long way out here in the West, and sometimes those folks can't figure us out, right? We've only been a state for 100 years, so what can you say?
Right, right. Well put. Okay, so let's get right into the Fiesta Bowl. Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. So you have UCF, a fledgling program, against Baylor, who's making it to the big stage for the very first time. Tell me how UCF-Baylor came to be on your radar.
Well, of course, we are fortunate in getting the champ of the Big 12. And so early in the season, the way Baylor started out, we were looking at them from about the third week on. They were scoring a point a minute and looking very, very strong. They lost at Stillwater, but then Oklahoma beat Oklahoma State at Stillwater, and there you go. Baylor's the champ. So we're very pleased about them. First time in BCS, as you said, exciting offense. I think they're going to attract a big crowd, turn on a lot of television sets with that quarterback and the way they just get into a rhythm on offense. And then Central Florida was very interesting for us. At one point, we thought a non-AQ champ, Fresno State or Northern Illinois, might be coming here. But in the end, it worked out, and we have Central Florida, a very large school. They've only been playing football for 30-some years, but boy, did they shine this year. Tough schedule. Their only loss was to South Carolina. So we've got two 11-1 teams coming in. I think our matchup has fewer losses than any other matchup in the bowls except the champ game, and I think each of them brings an exciting brand of football to the Valley.
Dr. Robert Shelton, Tostitos Fiesta Bowl Executive Director, with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. UCF Baylor in the Fiesta Bowl game, Michigan, Kansas State in the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl game. We'll get over to that in a minute. I'm curious, I know that through the years the Fiesta Bowl sends folks out to go scout and show their faces and the Yellow Jackets at games. Did you send many people to see UCF this year? And when you did, what kind of feedback did you get from them in terms of coming out here and the passion around the program? Because it's so young, I can't imagine that there's, the 50-year guy that's been following UCF football. They've only been around for 30.
Yeah, it's a good point. We did send scouts to University of Central Florida on a couple of occasions. They were welcomed very, very warmly. They, of course, were excited about the idea of coming out here or coming to a BCS game. They acknowledged that it's a long distance to travel. It's sort of warm weather to warm weather. But just the fact that this is the first BCS game, I think, in its, in and of itself is generating a lot of interest. They, of course, are a very large school, sort of ASU-style large, and so they have a lot of students. We've been getting a lot of interaction on the Twitter sphere, and, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But I think if you measure it in terms of enthusiasm and interest going to their first BCS bowl game, that's very high.
I'm thinking Dante Culpepper is probably the most famous alum. I don't know anybody politically. I don't know, Dr. Shelton. I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just thinking out loud. Dante Culpepper is about as deep as I can get. Yeah, anybody, or is that about it too?
Well, that's the name we came up with right off the top, or at least I should say Andy Bagnato, my guru, did. And then we'll have to do a little more research.
Over on Baylor's side, so you have a coach that you look at on the surface, and he was a high school coach who just kicked everybody's tail. And now Art Briles is sitting here and he's taking his team into a BCS game without RG3. Tell me about Baylor and having them come here and the coach in particular.
Well, you know, it is a marvelous opportunity for us. And of course, Briles' story is one that's captured a whole lot of attention, understandably. I think it's just the style of play. I mean, he clearly has tremendous athletes, but it's the disciplined style of play that he brings into those teams. We're very excited. You know, I learned there was one other little side note, namely that the two directors of athletics are both Canadians, grew up within 15 miles of each other out in and around Toronto.
Yeah,
so we have
good.
A whole lot of storylines that we can develop for this bowl game.
That's good. Over on the Buffalo Wild Wings side, so we're familiar with Kansas State and Bill Snyder. We're not familiar with Brady Hoke and Michigan coming here, but the Michigan brand, Dr. Shelton, coming into the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl.
Well, this Michigan, of course, the winningest all-time program in college football. They are a team. They have a fight song that probably everybody can hum or whistle. They are recognized not only nationally but around the world. And then you pair them up with Kansas State, and the Kansas State fans were just phenomenal here last year. I mean, not only in number but in enthusiasm and attitude, they were just a joy to have. And so we think this is a terrific matchup, two teams that turn on television sets that whose fans are passion is second to none. So we're very excited about this. I think this is going to be a heck of a game for people in the Valley of the Sun to buy tickets. You know, you've got two games here that you probably aren't going to see these schools very often.
Right.
And this is a chance to see them in their glory.
Well, I think, too, Michigan, Kansas State, what it says to me is hotels being filled and steaks being eaten. You know what I'm
saying? I think you're right, Brad.
And I also would say that in the next 2 weeks, what would really help here is to have it be negative 10 back there and to show a few golf courses and steakhouses and events going on. That's usually what helps these games.
Well, it was real nice. John Curry, the director of athletics at Kansas State, about 10 minutes after we had selected his team and the announcement was made, he sent a beautiful photo of a Buffalo Wild Wings restaurant in Manhattan, Kansas, and he said it was 18 degrees with snow on the ground.
That's what it takes. One last question, and I don't know if you gave this any thought or not, but the BCS, this is it for the BCS. What would your job look like a year from now in terms of figuring out these teams and getting them in place? Because that is all changing.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's going to be a whole different model for the Fiesta Bowl and for the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. I think my job here, though, remains pretty much the same, and that is ensuring that we continue with strong relationships with the conferences, with the schools, with the college football playoff group, making certain that as we grow our activities, we put more and more money into charities throughout the state of Arizona, not just here in the Valley, but
right.
Throughout the state, and looking for ways in which we can sponsor or support other events that are important for youth and for education and for community development.
And you guys do a great job of that. As always, I appreciate your time. Thanks for the visit. I'm sure I'll see you quite a bit here in the next few weeks.
We look forward to it, Brad. Thanks for having me on.
As always, Dr. Robert Shelton, Tostitos Fiesta Bowl Executive Director. UCF, Baylor, Michigan, Kansas State, and those are the two games that'll be here. Michigan, Kansas State in the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, UCF, Baylor on New Year's night following the Rose Bowl. Eric, were there any bowl games that you looked at on the surface? I think I'm looking at Bob Stoops in Oklahoma as a program that's just going to get run over in the Sugar Bowl. I think that's the one bowl game that I'm looking at saying, this is not going to end well.
The most intriguing for me has to be the Rose Bowl. I mean, it's just going
to
be a blood.
13-9.
It's going to be a complete bloodbath.
13-9.
If that high, if that high of a score, because Sparty is just as nasty on defense as Stanford is, and I just think Stanford might be a little bit more advanced offensively, but that is probably the most intriguing bowl matchup for me.
There are not many that I look at. Even U of A being in their matchup.
It's okay. Not great, and I think ASU is going to rout Texas Tech. Texas Tech is very, very small up front defensively, and ASU should be able to shove the ball right down their throats.
Was it a letdown? You know, you talked the last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You were being Debbie Downer here, okay? You were being the one that was like, oh, what if we don't have a good game? What if they get blown out? Okay. They didn't have a good game. They got blown out.
It was a huge letdown.
Really? Were you
sure.
let down?
Did you see the carbon copy from game one going into Saturday night?
Man, the special teams. Well, I said Garut on Friday. I don't get the punt game. I don't understand how it is that you can't get that stuff figured out, the special teams. And then the fans are booing these poor little 20, 19-year-olds saying, come on, man, I came here. I put down my money.
When we were in Palo Alto, do you remember how the game started? The game started with ASU kicking deep and Stanford taking the ball back to the 40-yard line. Saturday, they pooch kicked it, and guess what? Stanford started their 40-yard line, and two plays later, Tyler Gaffney.
Right. Well, and Ty Montgomery, I put my Heisman ballot in. I can't talk about it on the air. I put my Heisman ballot in.
Although we all know who you voted for. So.
You might. No.
I'm trying to bait you into an answer.
Yeah. Next year, Ty Montgomery should be a preseason Heisman Trophy candidate. I'm not saying he's going to win it. I'm just saying he's somebody that next season you look at and say, here's a list of 10 guys. Here's a list of 10 guys. Ty Montgomery would probably be around 9 or 10 on that list in my mind. But Ty Montgomery, Eric, there's not many people that are better than him unless I'm just watching him against Arizona State and he crushes them. But whenever I see Stanford play, Ty Montgomery does great things.
And he plays a skill-level position on a team that's not really known for their skill players. Although Kevin Hogan is as good of a big-game quarterback as I've seen in a long time, so... Ty Montgomery, maybe.
No, that's Brett Hundley if he comes back. There's a few guys. On the other side, so we're going to get further into ASU next with Paula Bova, News Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Is she let down by how this went down on Saturday night, ASU getting crushed? Let's not sit here and sugarcoat it and say, well, it was a good season. No, you know what? It was a good season. Was it a great season? We'll find out in the bowl game. And to me, it's pretty evident the Pac-12 North just is deeper. That's the way it is. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com. White Mountain Radio. Great to be on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad. Sussmat.
Every Monday, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin with Brad Sussmat. Let's get right into ASU and Stanford. How big of a letdown was it for you Saturday night? Or, you know, it's Stanford and they're that good and you kept it in perspective.
Well, you know, I think it's kind of both, Brad. I know that sounds wishy-washy, but if you take a step back and appreciate the great season ASU had and you would have said at the beginning of the season, would this record satisfy you? I think everyone would have said yes. But the way they lost was disappointing, and I've been very impressed with Todd Graham all season, but frankly, I thought he got out-coached by Shaw on Saturday.
Really?
Yes, I did.
I saw the same script of the game up at Stanford. The special teams weren't special again. I don't understand how you can go through the course of a season and not figure out how to get your special teams cleaned up.
Yeah, I mean, the special teams, more than anything, I think, the lack of improvement and the decision-making, I think they have to do some serious soul-searching, you know, after the season now and figure out what went wrong. Do they need to make changes on their staff? But the other thing, too, I mean, for all the talk that they had about, you know, they've changed things up. They're going to be more prepared for Stanford. It really didn't look like that. And, you know, ultimately, I think Stanford is kind of the worst matchup for ASU just because of how physical they are up front. Ultimately, that got to them, I think.
Well, I would agree with you on that. You also have to, I think, take big picture step back. How is it that Arizona State can get through the Pac-12 North in the title games, because I don't think Oregon's going to be down for long, and they didn't play Oregon this year, and you could make the argument, well, Oregon really wasn't down. They just had a couple tough spots. Stanford's right. going to be Stanford. Chris Peterson, I think, is going to get Washington turned around. Down here, it feels like and looks like when they played Utah, they were physical enough, but Utah did push them around a little bit. Colorado can't find their backside with either one of their hands. They feel like they match up fine with U of A. UCLA and USC or UCLA and USC. My point in this is maybe you've got to recruit a little differently.
Oh, I think that's absolutely the case. I mean, for one, I think Graham has to be credited for, I think the staff really, for the most part, gets the most out of these players, and I think that's really impressive. I think it's part motivational. I think it's part X's and O's. These guys really know what they're doing, and I think that they're more successful at than Erickson was at that. But I think they have to recruit, and I think we've talked about this for a while, that, you know, they've got to sort of recruit for the trenches, for the for some bigger guys up front. You know, we've lost some very good recruits from this state, a lot of offensive lineman types that have gone elsewhere, and somehow I think ASU has got to sort of figure out a way to get some of those big guys back into the program.
Well, and they did with Christian Westerman, bringing him
Absolutely.
Back from Auburn. You know, and Christian will play next year for him. But it was like watching Andres Pete, who went to Corona del Sol High School, just maul ASU on Saturday night, just destroyed ASU on Saturday night. You can't let all those guys get out of here. So advance the story forward then. Is this a good season, or is it, no, this was a great season?
Oh, no. I mean, I think it's a good season. We have to stop classifying a Holiday Bowl or a, you know, Alamo Bowl as a great season. ASU has to set the bar higher. A great season is when you get to the Rose Bowl. A great season is when you're, you know, up until now anyway.
I agree.
In sort of the BCS mix. This is a good season, maybe classified as a very good season, and a lot to be proud of for ASU considering where they were 2 years ago. But you can't call this a great season.
They get Texas Tech. Okay, so Texas Tech, I've not seen Texas Tech play more than, I don't know, a half or two of a game.
Right.
So I don't know what they're walking into, but it doesn't appear like this is a team that on paper should be that big of a challenge for ASU. Now, could Marion Grice play? Could that make a difference? We'll see. What do you make out of this matchup in San Diego?
Well, I have a feeling it could go similar to the last bowl game ASU played, and maybe not that quite of a blowout, but it looks like Texas Tech has kind of been on a downward trend. I think they, if I'm not mistaken, they won like their first seven games, and then things started going south for them. So I think it's a matchup that's going to favor ASU as long as, you know, this team is in the right mind frame. They're coming off a big disappointment and have several weeks to dwell on it. Now, I haven't seen this as a problem for ASU in the past, and I don't expect it to be, but that's a trap I think they have to be careful about.
You going to go? You going to be out there?
I'm waiting to hear word. I would love to go, but I'm not sure yet.
Not sure yet.
If the paper's going to send me.
Not sure. Where would you go?
I hope so. I may just go, you know?
No, but where would you go if they didn't send you? I mean, where else would you go?
It's not I'd go elsewhere. It's all about budget these days,
I
Brad.
See,
you know.
I see. I see what you're saying. News and Notes, Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist with us for a couple of minutes. The Tyrann Mathieu story.
Yes.
Now, I talked about this earlier with Eric. You know my background with knees and surgeries and all that stuff. And when I see Tyrann Mathieu and the way that the injury happened, I've been rooting for him. I don't root very often. I don't get all in on certain on players and athletes and all that stuff. It's just give me a good story and that's fine. I'm really rooting for him to do well. He did well this year. I said at the start of the year he should be the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. That was my pick as a guy that I think could come out of the blue. I think he made progress towards that direction. My whole thing on pain pills, recovering from ACL, LCL, anybody who's going to tell me I'm making too big of a deal out of this, given his background, I don't think they know what they're talking about. The Mathieu knee injury.
Yeah, first of all, the thing, when it happened and you see him walking off the field and then he just buckles, and the look on his face as he was walking off, you could tell he was in pain, but he was kind of trying to be strong, and then to see him collapse, I mean, talk about a powerful image. Well, one, I think it's such an emotionally tough loss for the Cardinals because I think there's such great affection for him on the team. I mean, the way players talk about him offensively and defensively, and he plays more than one role on that team. So just from an X's and O's standpoint, it's going to hurt. But certainly, I mean, if you're talking about, if I'm catching what you're saying correctly, that the kind of the concern of having to take a pain pill and how it might affect him because of his past, I think that's a fair concern. I mean, this is a guy who blew a lot of opportunities in college after he was instructed to stop smoking, frankly, so much weed, and couldn't and chose not to. And I don't know if he was an addiction. I don't know if it was a denial. But it's, you know, that has to be, a real fear for anyone who's been through that experience. Now, he has seemed to turn his life around in ways I've, you know, not seen many people do, and has done everything right. But I can't imagine they won't be monitoring that over there at the organization.
Well, I think John Lott needs to be his 24/7 guy in terms of, we're just going to rehab you. We're not going to let you go. Eric was talking earlier about not having too much downtime. I think there's ways in rehabbing ACL that you talk to players that have gone through it, you know, and the whole pain that you're going to go through, and then, hey, just take a shot. Hey, just take just pop a pill. After a while, that stuff becomes, quite frankly, addictive. And I've talked to players that have flushed it that said, I just worked through it. I don't know what's going to be for him.
I don't either. I do know that he's had a taste of professional life and playing professional football, and seems to so embrace it that maybe that'll be a strong enough pull to keep him from making some, you know, bad and tough choices. But yeah, I mean, there's always the unknown, and you have to be prepared for that.
News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin with Brad Sussmat. I'm not going to sit here and cast a ballot today for Steve Keim as executive for the year, Bruce Arians coach of the year. I don't know if they're going to catch San Francisco. I don't. But I do know that from a year ago, where it was Rod and Wiz, to a year later, when I see players like Carlos Dansby and John Abraham putting up the type of production in the drafting of Matthew, I feel so much better about the direction of the Arizona Cardinals that they're going now, even if they don't make the playoffs, than what I've seen in the last, I don't know, half dozen years.
Well, you know, the thing about this season certainly has been the trajectory too, right? I mean, we saw who Carson Palmer was, and then as he started getting comfortable with the system and the players around him started getting comfortable, where that went. And you mentioned Dansby. I mean, if I remember correctly, he was kind of brought in to be a stopgap or a mentor.
Yeah.
But I don't know if anyone expected sort of the production he was having. And to see players thrive under this organization, and to see a guy like Ellington and the pick he became, I mean, I think I agree with you in the sense there's a lot to be positive about. I do want to see how things finish off here. I'm just interested if they can kind of keep up the pace. But absolutely, I've been impressed.
Competent organizations don't hit on as many players. Even watching Rashard Mendenhall now, I didn't think he was very good, quite honestly, but he wasn't healthy early in the season.
Right.
Now I'm watching Rashard Mendenhall, and the St. Louis Rams are not going to remind anybody of the fearsome foursome, but there's a burst about him that you look at and say, okay, I get it. They stuck with Rob Housler. Rob Housler still is not giving the production that I've heard and raved about for years and years, but they've stuck with him. I think they've developed him. You know, a kid like Andre Roberts, I think, has digressed under their system. Is he going to be here next year? Where a kid like Michael Floyd has moved forward. So I'm seeing some things, both positively and negatively, but I'm seeing development of players.
There's no question. And Floyd is an interesting one because, last season people were about to write him off. All the money they spent, the promise he showed in college, and even kind of his body language, you wondered where he was, and a completely different player. So I think one of the most interesting storylines, they obviously are still in the mix here, just to see at what kind of level they can play and, you know, how they now make adjustments without a guy like Tyrann Mathieu in the lineup. A
couple other questions to let you go. Baseball winter meetings are in Florida. The Diamondbacks made a run at Carlos Beltran, according to too many really good baseball insiders over the weekend, and they're focusing on Mark Trumbo. Do you see them being able to do anything? Do they need to do something to inject some life into the marketplace?
I think so. I mean, I can't remember. I haven't heard anyone talk about the Diamondbacks, not lately. I know, obviously, this is football fever, but it doesn't necessarily feel like the game plan that the Diamondbacks have had recently has panned out perfectly, you know, building sort of from the bullpen out. And, you know, I think they've got to sort of explore other areas. I'd like to see them do something in this offseason, because I do think they need a little bit of a spark.
U of A, likely the number one basketball team in the nation when the new poll comes out today. Are you surprised by that this early?
Yes, I am. Only because, you know, the new faces in the lineup, a freshman who's expected to carry a big load. And, you know, I know in the past that Miller has really tried to get his team to peak at the right time. I'm impressed that they're playing as well together as they are now. And
I am too.
I think that's a pretty positive sign considering all the surprising pieces.
Let you go off that. Stay well. I'll see you soon.
Sounds good, Brad.
Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. She's with us every week here, sports360az.com, with Brad Susmat. What did I take from that interview with Paula? How is it you don't send your columnist to Sandy? Eric, is that just me?
It's kind of funny you ask, because I ask her the same question. Like, so, have you got your reservations for San Diego? And she's like, well, we're still working out the details on that. I'm like, oh, you're deciding what days you're going to go? And she's like, well, we're just still sort of figuring out the details.
I mean, come on. Seriously?
It's not London. It's San Diego.
We can get in a car.
It's not London. It's San Diego.
We can get in a hybrid, and we can put $30 of gas in.
It's not even New York City.
And
it's San Diego.
Gosh.
It's not Tampa. It's
got to be kidding me.
San Diego.
Come on, guys.
To each their own.
Wow.
To each their own.
No, I know. We're going. Of course we're going. That's what we do. Sports360AZ.com. On the other side, so I want to get a little bit further into some of the college football stuff over the weekend. I don't know if you saw the Heather Cox, Jameis Winston blow up. Here's a sideline reporter asking Jameis Winston the question that needed to be asked. I'm going to get to that a little bit. Dirk Cutter interviewing at Boise State today. How about that? They booed some mascots yesterday at the Cardinals game. I want to get into that a little bit further. I don't get it. The Cardinals and their postseason chances, ASU, where do they go from here? Was it really a successful season or not? All on my mind after this timeout. I'm Brad Susmat. Good Monday, Brad Susmat with you. Big week ahead. Tomorrow night, the Suns play at Los Angeles against the Lakers. I tried to watch Kobe last night. It was hard. It was one of those, man, he just doesn't look like himself at all. He looks old. He looks like Steve Nash at the end. Like, that's not Kobe Bryant. I understand it's December, but Kobe is back. Kobe will play tomorrow night against the Suns. And the Lakers just got destroyed last night by Toronto, of all teams. The Coyotes play tomorrow at Colorado. And there's plenty of content around the Valley. This week, some of the top high school basketball teams in the nation are going to be over at Grand Canyon University this Friday and Saturday. I'm going to make my way out to that, the Hoop Hall Classic. Tomorrow, I do believe on Talk to the Lopes, we'll have President Brian Mueller on to talk about that and some other stuff as well. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. It's all about you that we're going to go out to San Diego. We'll be doing the show out there and coverage out there, thanks to our friends at Santan Ford. General Manager Tim Ovix told me since day one, Brad, wherever you want to be, wherever you think there's a story, wherever you need to go, go. And we're right there with you. We're right there behind you. The number of times he's told me we are with you side by side as I've gone through the business the last few years, it's really been cool. I know it's that way, too, when I talk to people that have bought their second, third, fourth vehicles from Santan Ford. Just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Go shop at santanford.com. You can click on their link right there on our site, sports360az.com, right there at the top of the page. It's coming to the end of the year, guys. Got that holiday trip coming up. Why not get into that new car, that new truck? That's at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Eric, you were in the press box Saturday night, right?
At the ASU game. I was.
So you did not have a chance to see any of the Florida State ending and the interview of Jameis Winston, I'm assuming.
Not until you alerted me of it.
Yeah. Heather Cox, the sideline reporter, who I think does a pretty darn good job. And being a sideline reporter when games are over, God, what game was it? It was the end of whoever's doing the sidelines of the Michigan State Ohio State game. Her first question to the Michigan State player was, "How does it feel to be going to Pasadena?" And I wish the kid would say, "It's awful. It blows. I don't want to go. How do you think it feels? How does it feel to just win X?
On the other hand, though, it is a thankless job. I mean, that poor sideline reporter that gets berated by, you know, Bo Pelini. You've got to go up to the coach at halftime when they're getting drilled 38-0.
Sure.
And try to figure out a nice safe question to ask.
Yeah. Hey, coach, you have no shot, and you're going to be fired.
It's a double-edged sword.
I did the sideline reporting thing. I had an incident with a coach, and his team was barely winning at halftime. And I said, what are you going to tell your team here at halftime to get them focused on the second half? And he said, well, it's a bleeping abortion out there. That's not good. And that was 20 years ago using those terms.
No, that's not good.
That was not good.
That's not good. And I guess it's a little different. If you're a local sideline reporter, at least you have some sort of relationship with the coaches and players. But if you're just one of these big national people that fly in for 2 days and then leave right after the game, you don't know this coach from Adam.
So here's what happened. Heather Cox from ESPN interviewing Jameis Winston. This is 2 days after it comes out that there's no charges that are going to be filed against him. This comes out right after they beat Duke. She asks him about winning, and then she goes down this path.
What did you learn during the investigation?
I learned I got to get more mature. I got to get better at everything I do. Our teammates can't let themselves think they're on this level. We got to be up here, and we got to keep going higher and higher and higher and get better every single day.
And on Thursday, after news was broken that the investigation was closed, Coach Fisher told us he told you that he has ultimate trust in you and that you just need to be you and he'll take care of the rest. How much did that trust from your head coach help you?
I love him. I love him. We got to have that. That's how you have a successful team. That's how you do what we did today. We are trying to make history. We got to keep going.
And Jameis, how come you decided not to talk during the process and on Thursday?
Yeah. Thank you.
Jameis, congratulations.
Hearing that and seeing it in real time, Jameis got pulled away. There was someone there that pulled him away. Florida State, on social media, of course, Heather Cox got crushed because anybody on social media that is Florida State fandom doesn't want to hear their quarterback being asked questions that, by the way, needed to be asked.
He hasn't spoken since then.
She was dead up flat right.
He had not said one verbal word before that.
And if she doesn't ask, she gets destroyed, and Florida State fan is happy. If she doesn't ask, she has no credibility in a lot of people's minds. Was it her producer saying, go after him, go after him? No, she told Sports Illustrated that she and her group got together, including management, got together and talked about the possibility of the post-game interview with Jameis Winston. There was no possibility. It was going to happen. Duke was going to get crushed. Jameis Winston is the guy that you have to speak to. They spoke about how the broadcast would handle questions, especially if Winston had yet to speak out publicly. So this is your first chance. He didn't say anything the whole time. Heather Cox said, I had thought through the way I wanted to handle it and presented the questions to our team. We all decided it was the correct way to handle it. It was not an issue of me going rogue and deciding last minute that I would ambush him. She said that ESPN asked and received permission from Jimbo Fisher and two football sports information director regarding Winston questions about the investigation. She did not send her questions to Florida State. Good. When I have people that come on this show and say, well, what are you going to ask me? I tell them, I'm not telling you. And when I've had people that have said, you have to forward us a list of questions, they don't come on this show.
And we've had to turn away guests when it's, yes, the guest is booked, and then something happens and I get a call saying, "They're, you know, fill in the blank is all set, but Brad can't ask them about fill in the blank.
That's stupid. You're not coming on then.
So she did her homework. She asked Florida State for permission, and they said yes. And they asked her the questions, and she said no, which is completely an acceptable thing to do.
Right.
So, sorry, Florida State. This one's on you.
Yeah, well, and Cox did not forward her questions, but Florida State did not ask her for the questions. So let's be clear that one up.
Gotcha. Okay.
She said that she had to go. Here's the part I find interesting. She talked to Sports Illustrated today about this. After the post-game trophy ceremony, both ESPN management and Cox and her colleague, they had the post-game trophy celebration. She met with Jimbo Fisher under the tunnel for 5 minutes, one-on-one, to clear it up. Some thought that she was not asked to be part of the trophy celebration because Florida State was so mad at her. Whether they were or they wouldn't, you can't sit there and say, well, we're not going to have you be part of our little celebration because you asked Jameis Winston. You're doing your job. I'm so tired of these pom-pom cheering people. You know, it's like when ASU has anything that goes wrong, and I sit there and merely point out that Vontaze Burfict took the program down a path that it should never have gone, and these same nitwits come back at me 2 years later and say, oh, you were so wrong. Look at what he's doing in the NFL. No, I was dead flat right. The program was flatlined because of him. If he should have been run out of here. And now the best part of this story, Heather Cox is assigned to the BCS title game. So guess what? She's going to see Jameis Winston again prior to any potential post-game interviews in the BCS title game. Hearing him speak, he didn't sound like he was mad at her.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. You never got the sense that he didn't want to answer any of the questions.
Like he wanted to get this out.
It was the PR guy that pulled him away. Yes. He was going to answer the question.
Yes.
And now she's in hot water because the PR guy pulled Jameis Winston back.
There was an ASU quarterback that I had a great relationship with, and it wasn't Jake Plummer. And this ASU quarterback hit some tough times, and I hammered him, and I still showed up every day because that's what I do. This ASU quarterback told me someone in the sports information office said that you said this about me. I said, no, what I said was to your coach, do you think you should replace him? He's a senior. It's probably time to start getting someone. Oh, well, that makes everything different. I played him the tape back. So you have guys that have their own agendas in that job that make our jobs at times more difficult than they really need to be, because the truth needs to be told rather than just sugarcoating all the crapola that is going on behind the scenes. Let's not sit here and pull a, hey, Jameis, how does it feel to beat Duke? Aren't you excited to go play the national title game? Guys, back to you. I appreciate that. And people like her need to be patted on the back more. There needs to be more, and people nationally need to acknowledge, great job. Great job. And if some fans get all wound up about that, tough. Because that stuff needed to be asked. He's the one that put all this focus on his program. Am I right? All right. I feel much better now. I don't know how long U of A is going to stay number one in the nation, but it is pretty cool to have the University of Arizona Wildcat basketball team number one in the nation, because watching them play, I saw some of the UNLV game. They are fun. They are really fun. And it's only December, and they appear to me to be a team that's going to be hard to beat. In the Pac-12, I'm sure there's going to be that game at Oregon or that game at Stanford or that miraculous shot at Washington State. Something that happens where U of A loses the game. But they're really good, and they're the number one team in the nation right now. Sports360AZ.com, Brad Sesmat with you on Twitter, at Brad Sesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. And it's always great to be on White Mountain Radio, the good people, White Mountain Radio on a Monday.